I don't know if you've noticed it, but it's rummy how nothing in this world ever seems to be absolutely perfect. The drawback to this otherwise singularly fruity binge was, of course, the fact that Jeeves wouldn't be on the spot to watch me in action. Still, apart from that, there wasn't a flaw. The beauty of the thing was, you see, that nothing could possibly go wrong. You know how it is. As a rule, when you want to get Chappie A on spot B at exactly the same moment when Chappie C is on spot D, there's always a chance of a hitch. Take the case of a general, I mean to say, who's planning out a big movement. He tells one regiment to capture the hill with the windmill on it at the exact moment when another regiment is taking the bridgehead or something down in the valley, and everything gets all messed up. And then, when they're chatting the thing over in the camp that night, the colonel of the first regiment says, "Oh, sorry, did you say the hill with the windmill? I thought you said the one with the flock of sheep." And there you are. But in this case, nothing like that could happen, because Oswald and Bingo would be on the spot right along, so that all I had to worry about was getting Honoria there in due season. And I managed that all right first shot by asking her if she would come for a stroll in the grounds with me, as I had something particular to say to her. She had arrived shortly after lunch in the car with the Braithwaite girl. I was introduced to the latter, a tallish girl with blue eyes and fair hair. I rather took to her. She was so unlike Honoria. And if I'd been able to spare the time, I shouldn't have minded talking to her for a bit. But business was business. I had fixed it up with Bingo to be behind the bushes at 3 sharp. So I got hold of Honoria and steered her out through the grounds in the direction of the lake. "You're very quiet, Mr. Worcester," she said. Made me jump a bit. I was concentrating pretty tensely at the moment. We had just come in sight of the lake, and I was casting a keen eye over the ground to see that everything was in order. Everything appeared to be as arranged. The kid, Oswald, was hunched up on the bridge, and as Bingo wasn't visible, I took it that he had got into position. My watch made it 2 minutes after the hour. "Eh?" I said. Yes, I was just thinking." "You said you had something important to say to me." "Absolutely." I had decided to open the proceedings by sort of paving the way for young Bingo. I mean to say, without actually mentioning his name, I wanted to prepare the girl's mind for the fact that, surprising as it may seem, there was someone who had long loved her from afar and all that sort of rot. "It's like this," I said. "It may sound rummy and all that, but there's somebody who's frightfully in love with you and so forth. A friend of mine, you know."
"Oh, a friend of yours?"
"Yes." She gave a kind of laugh. "Well, why doesn't he tell me so?" "Well, you see, that's the sort of chap he is. Kind of shrinking, diffident kind of fellow. Hasn't got the nerve. Thinks you so much above him, don't you know? Looks on you as a sort of goddess. Worships the ground you tread on, but can't whack up the ginger to tell you so."
"This is very interesting."
"Yes, he's not a bad chap, you know, in his way. Rather an ass, perhaps, but well-meaning. Well, that's the position. You might just bear it in mind, what? How funny you are." She chucked back her head and laughed with considerable vim. She had a penetrating sort of laugh, rather like a train going into a tunnel. It didn't sound over-musical to me, and on the kid Oswald it appeared to jar not a little. He gazed at us with a good deal of dislike.
"I wish the dickens you wouldn't make that row," he said, "scaring all the fish away."
It broke the spell a bit. Honoria changed the subject.
"I do wish Oswald wouldn't sit on the bridge like that," she said. "I'm sure it isn't safe. He might easily fall in."
"I'll go and tell him," I said.